name of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and verse 1 of chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away." This Sunday is a kind of in-between Sunday, in between the festival of our Lord's ascension into heaven and next Sunday's great festival of Pentecost, which together with Christmas and Easter are the three great festivals of the Christian year. For the past three Sundays, the appointed gospel readings have taken us back to the upper room in Jerusalem on the night before our Lord was crucified. And on this Sunday between Ascension Day and the day of Pentecost, we again go back to that upper room in Jerusalem, and we hear yet another portion of Jesus' farewell discourse, in which he prepares his disciples for his departure from this world. And he prepares them by telling them, first of all, what they'd be facing after his departure, and then by promising to send to them the Holy Spirit. Now, those 12 men gathered there with Jesus in the upper room were very much what somebody has called the crooked timber of humanity. The crooked timber of humanity. And Jesus knew only too well their frailty, their inconstancy, their all too valiant trust in themselves. And as we all know, before that night was over, Judas had betrayed his Lord into the hands of his enemies. Their spokesman, Simon Peter, had not just once, but three times sworn that he didn't even know Jesus. And when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all, every last one of them, forsook him and fled. Nor is that all, because Jesus knew what they were going to be up against when he'd no longer be visibly with them. Jesus says, "They'll put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he's serving God by doing that, and these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me." It is, to put it mildly, not a very encouraging picture. And the truth, of course, is that you and I are very little band of men gathered there with Jesus in the upper room, because you and I are also the crooked timber of humanity. We too are frail. We too are inconstant. And we too are only too ready to rely on ourselves. If we're honest, we see in ourselves what our fathers in the faith called the more serious faults of human nature: ignoring God, lacking fear and trust in Him, being angry with Him, at times despairing, trusting in what we can see. And although we Christians, in the relative safety of North America and Europe, don't suffer outright persecution, we do face the more subtle pressure of a world whose common assumptions about life flatly contradict the truth revealed in Christ. But if we listen carefully to Jesus' words, we shouldn't really be too surprised, because this is exactly what He taught His disciples to expect. He warned them that they abandon Him in His hour of deepest need, that when He no longer be visibly with them, they'd suffer opposition and persecution. Jesus warned them to expect that, and His words also warn us. And so when you and I see indifference and even hostility to Christ and His church, we really shouldn't be too surprised. And far from undermining faith, these sad realities should in fact strengthen our faith, because this is exactly what the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to expect. And we are not on our own. For on the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus not only prepared His disciples for what they'd be up against, He also promised to send them the Holy Spirit, whom He calls the Comforter. Jesus says, "When the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness to Me." When the Comforter comes. The Greek word behind that word Comforter is the word parakletos. Parakletos. A word which literally means one who comes to your your side, one who stands beside you. The King James Version of the Bible translates parakletos with the word comforter. And Dr. Luther, in his German translation of the Bible, uses the German word for comforter, Christ. Unfortunately, a more recent translation, which our synod has chosen to use as the translation read in church, translates parakletos with the word helper. Helper. That's not wrong. But I submit that it is colorless. When the helper comes, how much better is the King James translation and Dr. Luther's translation when a comforter comes? Because a comforter is, of course, one who comforts, one who consoles. But in olden times, a comforter was also understood to be one who makes you strong. Notice the word fort in the word comforter. And another word for fort is stronghold. As the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit is one who comforts, who consoles, and also the one who makes us strong. And how does the Holy Spirit make us strong? By pointing to the Lord Jesus, by showing us the Lord Jesus as our victorious Savior and Lord, just as Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, he will bear witness to me, and you also will bear witness. In and of themselves, Jesus' disciples were frail and weak men, very much the crooked timber of humanity. But when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who makes men strong, came to them 10 days after Jesus' resurrection, on the great day of Pentecost, that little band of men boldly proclaimed Jesus to the world, seen in the great crowd gathered there in Jerusalem. They proclaimed Jesus' victory accomplished on the cross and revealed in his glorious resurrection. And the strengthening Holy Spirit who did that on the day of Pentecost continues to do that until the risen and ascended Lord comes again in glory. The Holy Spirit continues through the preaching of the Jesus to speak peace to troubled hearts by proclaiming forgiveness in Jesus' name, calling us to repentance and new life, and strengthening us with life-giving food and drink in the Holy Supper. In all of this, the Holy Spirit makes us alive in faith, strengthens, comforts, and consoles. And this is the secret of the Church's survival through all the trials of her history. This is the secret of the Church's resurrection from all the graves prepared for her by a hostile world and the malice of Satan. The Church's life is not her own. It is the life in her of the Holy Spirit who makes us strong through faith in Jesus, who, though all unseen, rules all things for the good of the little flock that bears his name. And so, as we look forward to next Sunday's great feast of Pentecost, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.